Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopijana Balaba Giribhara Dhari Jaya Gopijana Balaba Giribhara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Balabha Giribhara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Banachari Jamuna Tira Banachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parivraj, Acharya Astotarasata Sushimad, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa Parivrajakacharya, Ashtotarasata Shishimad, His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Brinda ki. Iskon Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantarashimam Bhagavatam ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text Number 51 and 52, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction.
Agnirjatha dhara daru adnejata daru bijoga jago joga jor adrishato nyanna nimitta nashti evan hi jantor api durbiva byaha Sarira samyo yoga sami sarira samyo
I need glasses.
Sarira samyo gavi yoga hetu. Agnirjata daru bi yoga yoga jor. Adrishtato nyan nyannanimitta nashti evan hi jantor api durbibhavyaha sarira samyoga viyoga hetu Agnirjata dharu bijoga yoga jor Adrishtato nyannam nimitta nashti Evan hi jantor api durbibhajah vyaha sarira samyoga viyoga hetu.
Please chant. Agnehe, of a fire in the forest. Jatha, as. Daru, of wood. Vijoga, vijoga, yoga, yoho. Of both the escaping and the capturing. Adrishtaha, done unseen providence. And yet, some other reason or accident. Na, not. Nimitam, a cause. Asti, there is. Evam, in this way. He, certainly. Jantoho, of the living being. Api, indeed. Durbi bhavyaha, cannot be found. Sorry, cannot be found out. Sarira, of the body. Samyoga, of the accepting. Viyoga, or of the giving up. Hetuhu, the cause. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. When a fire, for some unseen reason, leaps over one piece of wood and sets fire to the next, the reason is destiny. Similarly, when a living being accepts one kind of body and leaves aside another, there is no other reason than unseen destiny. Purport. When there is a fire in a village, the fire sometimes jumps over one house and burns another. Similarly, when there is a forest fire, the fire sometimes jump over one tree and catches another. Why this happens, no one can say. One may set for some imaginary reason why the nearest tree or the house did not catch fire, whereas a tree or a house in a distant place did. But actually the reason is destiny. This reason also applies to the transmigration of the soul, by which a prime minister in one life may become a dog in the next. Here's the the work of unseen destiny cannot be ascertained by practical experimental knowledge, and therefore one must be satisfied by reasoning that everything is done by supreme providence. Text number 52.
Evam brimishyatam papam javat atmani darshanam pujajan asavai saurir bahumana puro purasharam.
Translation. After thus considering the matter as far as his knowledge will allow, Vasudeva submitted his proposal to the sinful Kamsa with great respect. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishupadaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Shimate Ramapaswami Dinamaya Namo Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Vishaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Itinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurabani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Pashatyade Shatarine Bancha Kalpa Tarvesha Kripa Sindhu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. So the subject matter today is a very fascinating one. Would have been nice to actually research a little more or prepare better, because it's intriguing. It have always intrigued people in general, historically, through all times. And it's a big question that escapes material logic, and also sort of a materialistic faith or religion. Very difficult to understand this principle of destiny. What destiny means is that there's already written in stone what is supposed to happen to one. So everything's already in place. So we cannot change destiny, although it has been a subject matter of a fantasy or science fiction, or how you say the other thing, the genre that you write, that people write about fiction, that people try to change, destiny by going back on time. So, and then there's this thing of the butterfly effect, right? That if a butterfly just, flaps its wing some other way, then the effect that will cause in the long term, in the future, will be huge. So something as minimal as a simple movement of a wing of a butterfly can change destiny, can change things. So that idea, they call it the butterfly effect. So they make all kinds of science fiction and like that, of this thing, trying to explain how wonderful or how important will be, or what a achievement will be for human society to be able to control its own destiny, to be able to make things the way you really want. And in one sense, that's the principle that in this Western world, we've been indoctrinated. You are the master of your destiny. So you dictate. But sadly, that's not the case. Not sadly, it's just the matter of fact. Actually, from the perspective of the Bhagavad, it's a very kind arrangement that things are the way they are. From the perspective of the materialistic pursuits of trying to lord over material nature, is very sad because it just is an impossible task. It's impossible. It's an impossible task to be able to control this supreme energy of the Lord, this divine energy, this material energy. And destiny is part of the laws, is part of the application of the laws, is a consequence of the laws of material nature. And that law is a law of karma. So according to the activities that we do, according to the way which the choices we made and the actions we take according to those choices, then there's a reaction that is already set in stone, in paper. So according to those actions, one is destined to get a particular body with a particular type of nature and forced to act in certain way. We think we're just deciding to act, but the fact is that nature is forcing us to act in that way. So then, according to karma, the body is given, but also the circumstances, the amount of suffering and enjoyment that we're going to have in this life is already done, finished. So then it comes the questions that people ask, the implications of this. You know, so exactly, if I'm saying that everything is already there and we're going to receive it, certain amount of enjoyment, certain amount of suffering, what is the use of working? I just sit down in my couch and just wait. Flip some TV channel, you know, and eat some potato chips. And they just wait there for, you know, and for things to come. According to this, it's going to come anyway. We don't have to work for that. That's the principle. And the fact is that, yeah, it's just as it is. You can sit down in your couch, eat potato chips, and flip at the TV channel aimlessly for days, and you still will receive what you do to receive, the amount of suffering, the amount of enjoyment. So is that just, or what is the purpose of that? How do we explain that? You know, what kind of encouragement is that? That is taking the aim of life, you know, the purpose. If I don't endeavor to achieve my desires, then what purpose is there for human beings? You know, es esa 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 it's a question that then people say no, this is just fanatism, this doesn't make sense. When you know you talk about destiny and especially when you talk about this karma, the things that is presented in the Vedic scriptures. But the explanation is that from the perspective of the Vedas, it's designed like that to educate us. It's therapy. This material world is a big, gigantic psychiatric world. And Krishna is the greatest of all psychiatric doctor, expert. Very expert. He knows exactly. Perfect. And he will cure you. Some of us, you know, will take a little more time because it's a more severe case of madness. But it works. His system is perfect, supreme. So it's designed as it is, and from his perspective, actually, yes, if the purpose of your life is sense gratification, you're doomed to actually come hit a wall of frustration and disappointment. There's no choice. There's no alternative. It's what is going to happen. And it's not a fatalistic view of the Vedas. It's just trying to wake us up that's not north for us. That's, you know, something else. That's a wrong path. That's a path that is not gonna... The desire to be happy, the desire to be to have sustainable happiness, bliss, to enjoy, is natural for the living entity and is not discouraged. It's just Krishna is trying to help us understand that way is not the way to happiness. It's a way of misery, dukkhalayam. So sukha or suprasiddhati or enjoyment is the path of self-realization, the path of Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is trying to help us understand that. And naturally, you can help someone that is not understanding, I have a problem. So in general, when people that have some psychiatric problem or some madness or some mental difficulty, emotional difficulty, the first step of the therapist is to help the person understand that they do have a problem and they need help. Until that doesn't happen, there is no use of doing something else, of, you know, getting into more refined treatment. The first thing is to understand, I'm a mess, I need help. I'm trying and trying and trying and just, you know, going deeper and deeper into some disappointment and depression. I need help. So once we come to that understanding that this is wrong, I'm not getting any happiness here. Actually, this is all miserable. Even the so-called happiness is terrible misery. So there have to be something else, because life cannot be like that. It's not like that. It doesn't feel right. So then when we're ready to receive that there's another path, there's an alternative path that is actual prescribed to be happy. And that's the path of self-realization. So, from the perspective of the path of self-realization, then we come to understand the principles of karma and the principles of destiny. It is destined for us, this body already comes wired with certain amount of enjoyment, certain amount of suffering. It's already been there. So we have to go through that. It's part of the evolution of consciousness. It's part of what we have to go through. And I hope I don't lose the idea. So, give me just 1 second, okay? So it's part of what we have to go through. But the thing that makes the difference, and this is the important part to understand, why we still have to act, we still have to endeavor. Because if we don't do that, if we make the choice of not acting and being sort of absorbed by inaction or stagnation, which is a symptom of the mode of ignorance, we, by associating with a particular mode and by neglecting the duties that we have in this life, then we acquiring, we're setting up ourselves for the next life. So the choices that we make in this life will set up the next set of destiny and karma. So we really don't want to mess up further. We want to be progressive. We want to, that's the whole message of the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna gives. That you can stop acting, you have to act. Karma dieva dikaraste ma paleshu, that verse, that you have the right, the only right that we have is to perform as prescribed duties. If we neglect our prescribed duties, then we're setting ourselves to a very difficult future or difficult destiny in the future. So we do have to act because we have choices. So according to how we deal with our destiny right now, according to the choices that we make, according to the way we react, then we creating our next situation. So it is important to actually understand how to properly make choices. Therefore, the process of Krishna consciousness is called also Buddhi Yoga. Because by Buddhi, Buddhi means intelligence. Intelligence means to discern what is right, what is wrong. So when you have an understanding what is right and what is wrong, then we can make choices. The choice, the right choice. So when we make the right choice, then Krishna says, that system of Buddhi Yoga will free you from the reactions of good or bad. So now it puts you in another space, in another level. It can put us in a space that actually we're creating our next life transcendental, spiritual, you know, free from the material entanglement, and a life that will be back home, back to Godhead, our original life. So, important to understand these principles of destiny. We still have to go through things, but we learn how to deal or how to approach or the type of choices that we have to make in the face of our individual destinies. And that's what Krishna is helping us. He's helping us through the scriptures, through the devotees and through the spiritual master to understand to how to act in such a way that we can stop the cycle repetition of jumping from one body to a body, transmigration of the soul, birth and death, and be free from this what would you say, unnatural arrangement of destiny that is, you know, that it doesn't really click with our nature. That's why, you know, we don't like it very much to be sort of, you know, boxed into a particular, you know, set of circumstances in our life. Because the consciousness of a spirit is not boxed, it's actually, you know, it's expansive. As, you know, part and parcel of Krishna, we also have that, Satchit Ananda. So the arrangements in this material world are completely incompatible for us. And the idea of this incompatible situation is to help us understand that we don't belong here. And that's the whole thing. Any comments or questions? Yes. Keshava Kishore Prabhu.
Thanks for the class, Prabhu. In a way, our destiny is still in our hands, because there's a certain difference between our philosophy and our way of living and the Stoics, the school of philosophy, the Stoicism, in which they just sit down and wait until destiny takes over on their lives. In a way, we do have in our hands the possibility to change our destiny. We have a past that is past, that we know of, that we understand, that our present life, in a way, is a gift, is a present. In our future, we don't know, but we can, in a way, manage it depending on our choices, as you said.
Yeah, in one sense, you can say that. But in the other sense, we understand that we have no control of that. Krishna is in control. Krishna gave us the path. He says, and actually in the Sri Shupanishad, he says, that path of Ishavasya principle, there's no alternative. He says. So we have, you know, to be happy and to be able to evolve. So we know that if we do that, if we do the right thing, if we follow Krishna's instructions, then in Krishna's hand, because he promised, is not from ourselves. He promised, "Tyakta deham punarjanman neti man eti sarjuna." I take you back home, back to Godhead. You know?
He's such an in control that we weren't even asking for to be born. We were born because of his command. He wanted us to be born. We weren't.
Oh, it's because of our desire. We do want, you know, we wanted to be apart from him, and he's just reciprocating with that. So the thing that we do have is that Krishna gave us is this minute independence. And with this minute independence, we can say yes or no. If we say yes, then Krishna, you know, controls it. If we say no, then Krishna says, okay, so then, you know, go to the, here in the psychiatric world, we have to put you to the therapy, and then, you know, at one point you're gonna come to your senses. Yes, Prabhu.
He also, along with free will, though, he also gives us responsibility. We're still responsible for our actions, our thoughts, our deeds, our karma. We still play a role. We have to make a decision one way or another, but we still have that ability, even though he is in control.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a part of understanding that we do have a role, we do have a part to play. You know, there's rules. There's rules, it's common sense. Even, you know, sometimes you present this when you preach in colleges and things like that. You know, that besides religion, let's take aside faith and religion, just common sense, pramana, just observe the universe. There is an order structure. It's a perfectly ordered structure. So like any structure that is ordered because there's laws. So we have to follow laws. Like any order structure, like this country, any country, there's a structure, and there's laws. And in order to function in this country, you have to know and follow the laws. If you break the law by ignorance or by just criminal mentality, you get punished. There's no excuse for breaking the law. You're gonna get punished. So we do have the responsibility to follow the law.
Right, and also we show him the respect when we follow his precepts, his teachings, and his wants and desires. We show him proper respect.
Correct. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu.
I don't know if in Venezuela have this aphorism that we have in Colombia, ayúdate que Dios te ayudará, no, help yourself, that God will help you.
Right. Yeah, they do have that.
It says everybody acts according to the nature in which he is acquired.
Yeah.
And we can't refrain from doing something even for a moment.
Right, Krishna says.
Man is the architect of his own destiny. Those who are just indulging in delighting their senses are living in vain. You've heard that before, right? Living in vain.
Yes, yes. In one sense, you know, being the architect makes, you know, it's almost you get the whole concept of, you know, so by acting certain way or just doing certain things, we're just building the next one, you know.
Most of us are acting foolishly.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah, I have heard one senior devotee, he gave class, he was telling, nobody can change your destiny except Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a very big thing behind that. Sometimes we rely upon our astrology.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, they think astrology in daily life, they see, oh, what in my horoscope, what will happen today, and what will happen tomorrow, like that. So thing is that the astrology, total astrology, it depends upon sun god, because the location of planets, and you know it, and how they are affected by the sun. Because of sun, they move different ways. So the position and location of a planet depends upon sun. But sun indirectly, he is the eyes of Krishna. That's what we have. Our jatsaku sabita sakala grahanam. That means he is the eyes of Krishna. So by the direction of Krishna, sun can act. So in other ways, Krishna is the destiny of every living entities.
Very nice.
Can deduct from this logic. Another thing also, we saw there is a nice verse I forgot in Kunti. She was praying to the Yeah, Kunti's prayer, you can see in Bhagavatam. It is stated that Kunti is telling, just like Natyo Natya Dhara Jatha, that means we are just like a puppet in hand of Krishna. Just like when you pull the string, puppet will dance according your action. Similarly, the whole living entities, although they are in this stage of materials, nuisance, but they act according to the will of Krishna. Even your thinking, willing, feelings, everything is acting according to the direction of Krishna.
Yeah, yeah. Prabhupada also mentions, you know, how, you know, taking shelter of Krishna basically can change, can erase, you know, can, it takes, you know, now you're not controlled by the law of karma directly, but Krishna directly is the one who takes charge. Now, does that mean that, you know, that now you, whatever you were destined to suffer is not going to happen? Not necessarily. But what Prabhupada explains is that Krishna gives us sometimes, if our destiny was to lose an arm, we lose the tip of a finger or something like that. So it's a token. And sometimes we see devotees going through some suffering. And, you know, people may say, well, you see some sinful reaction. Like, say, Sanatana Goswami getting all those infections in his body that were oozing, you know, thing. It's, the description is like, oh my God, it's like, you know, what a miserable condition. You can imagine, you know, being covered with sores that are, you know, with creatures eating there and, you know, like that. And pus, you know, so it was all over his body. And he was very sick. So, sinful? No, it's different. For the devotee, it's a different thing. This is how I understand it. That for what I've, you know, heard, that Krishna, once we actually accept or being accepted in Krishna's family, when we take initiation, something very esoteric happens, that now Krishna takes us, and Krishna directly is now takes charge. Not indirectly he controls everybody through his energies, you know. So we in the material world, we rule by the material energy, we're forced to act. The same thing of the puppet, you've seen the picture of the three modes of material nature, you know, moving the different people. But as devotees, Krishna directly takes charge. So Krishna may use, you know, things that are part of the wiring of our body to help us. You know, things that we're sort of conditioned to act. So Prabhupada says, is the therapy of using like how you say the a needle, or like how you say the thing that grows in the trees that are pointy, a thorn, to you use a thorn to take a thorn out of your skin, you know. So it's Krishna directly using things that are already wired in you to purify you. So for us, Krishna directly is making arrangements that we have to go to certain things in order to become purified. That's my understanding. If anyone wants to add, you know. Yes, Prabhu.
I think we are talking about this karma. And then Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, the reactions on the karma, it's very difficult to understand.
Yeah.
Gahano karmanam gati. It's very, very complicated and very difficult to understand. But So that doesn't mean that we should be discouraged. The path has been given by the great devotees to surrender ourselves to the Lord and the great Vaishnavas and then faithfully serve them. Then whatever reaction we are supposed to get it, that will be changed. And instead of getting 100% reaction, we might get 5% or 10%. So that we should have a faith in serving the devotees, the pure devotees of the Lord. Just like Prabhupada came and all the Western devotees or Western hippies were there, they had a very sinful life.
Mm.
And if you calculate their reaction, it would be terrible. But because of a Prabhupada presence and because they all serve very faithfully for Prabhupada, so all the reactions were completely gone. So this is what we have to understand, that by serving the great Vaishnavas, our destiny will be changed and will make very fast spiritual progress.
Mm.
And end our material lives probably in this life also.
Right. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Just conclude with this, that you know, for us, all these ordeals of material that we have to pass in this world is very positive. It's actually we feel encouraged. And you know, it's that famous verse that Lord Brahma says, that I can't remember the Sanskrit, but you know, that the devotee patiently accept whatever it comes, the reactions, the sufferings and like that, understanding that Krishna is, you know, caring. What's that verse? It's, it's famous, super famous. Prabhupada quotes this. It's in the 10th canto. Lord Brahma, I can't remember. Anyway, that's one. You remember? But it's in paraphrasing is that patiently taking it as it comes, you know, bring it in. The suffering, that whatever suffering I have to go, I patiently tolerate. And same with, you know, whatever enjoyment is that, understanding that if you remain situated, that's it. Yeah, but it's always, that verse always fills you with hope. So our path, even though we have to go to so much ordeal, is a path of hope. Because we know that if we sincerely don't give up the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna, you're going to break through and go back home, back to Godhead. There's no doubt about it. We just have to hold tight, regardless of, you know, how many struggles we have to go through. So it's a path of hope, and we feel it. We feel that, you know, that's we're being taken care. As long as we remain just holding to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and Srila Prabhupada's followers. And Mike. No, you just do the mic so people hear it. Finish with this.
Tatenu kampam susumikshamano punjana evadmit kripam vipakam hrid vag vapur vir vididhan namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadayabak.
Translation.
My dear Lord, anyone who patiently waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently tolerating the reactions of his past misdeeds, is certainly eligible for liberation because it has become his rightful claim.
Rightful claim. So, thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthara Shriman Bhagavatam ki.